Okay, everybody, welcome to the fourth episode of the podcast, dude. My name is Aaron Down. Ooh, did I just say Down? My name is Aaron Dowd, and today I'm going to be sharing everything you need to know to edit podcasts like a pro. So, I can call myself a professional podcast editor because I literally edit podcasts full-time. That's my job. So, I've learned a ton. And editing is an essential part of producing a high-quality podcast, but the truth is that it is very time-consuming and difficult if you aren't experienced with professional audio editing software like Logic Pro 10 or Pro Tools. Editing can be really time-consuming, so if you're one of those people that already has a very, very busy schedule, you might want to consider hiring an editor to take care of the shows for you. Now, I spend roughly 20 hours every week editing podcasts in Logic Pro 10, and over the course of about 3 years, I learned a ton about Logic, but I still learn new things every week. And when I was first starting to learn, YouTube tutorials and blog posts were extremely helpful, but I also learned a lot just by running into various problems and figuring out how to solve them. There really is no shortcut to becoming a great editor or getting good at mixing and mastering. These are things that take time and attention to learn and get good at. Now, I've talked about my broader goal for this podcast, not just this episode, but the whole podcast in general. I want to share everything I've learned about audio, editing podcasts, and podcasting in general. Some of the content that I want to share is really better suited for screencasts, so you can see what I'm doing, which is a lot of the time a lot easier than just trying to describe it with words. But I can talk about how I think about editing and some of the things I've learned that have made the process faster and easier. So that's really what I'm going to be sharing in this episode. Now, I've already recorded a few screencasts about essential plugins for mixing, including EQ and compression. So I'm going to include links to all those in the show notes. And I'm going to continue to produce screencasts as often as I can, because as I've been writing and preparing for these shows, I keep coming across all these topics that I'm like, man, that would be great to do a screencast on, because then people could see what I'm doing inside the program, which is just a lot easier than trying to describe it. So if you guys have any questions, if you're running into problems, regardless of whatever software you're using, please shoot me an email at aaron@thepodcastdude.com. Or if you're a Sean West community member, shoot me a question in there. I'm more than happy to answer questions or point you to an online resource. Okay, so first thing, let's talk about editing software. A question I get asked a lot is, what is the best program for editing podcasts? Now, in preparation for this episode, I tried editing a podcast in really four different programs: GarageBand, Audacity, Reaper, and ScreenFlow. Now, ScreenFlow, you might not have thought of using that to edit podcasts because that's actually really a screencast recording and editing software, but I actually found it worked pretty well for editing. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but a typical podcast that I edit has two or three tracks for the hosts or the guests, and then intro and outro music. That's pretty basic. So what I did is I would go and create tracks inside the program, and then I would drop the audio files in, and then I would try to do the editing process, which is basically lining everything up and then doing some mixing and mastering using plugins or what have you. And the results were disheartening. I found it frustrating and really difficult to do even the more basic tasks that are required for quickly editing and mixing a show. Of the four programs that I tried, and I'm not going to include Logic here, but GarageBand seemed like the best option for free or cheap. And it comes standard with a lot of Macs, or you can buy it on the App Store for $5. Now, if you've done some editing, if you disagree with what I just said, please, please, please write in and tell me why. I'd love to hear your opinions about this. I would love to become aware of other options for software, but those are the ones I tried, and I really didn't like any of them other than GarageBand was okay. But I talked earlier about ScreenFlow, and ScreenFlow is pretty good. It doesn't have plugins that you can use, but it does have some pretty nice audio enhancing options like noise removal and what's called smooth volume levels, which is like automatic compression, I guess. It's really a great way to record screencasts too, if that's something you're interested in doing. It's a little pricey. I think it's $99 new, but you might find it on sale in a bundle. I got my copy for $40 because it was part of some sale bundle thing. So Logic Pro 10 is what I use, and I love it. Since I'm most experienced with Logic, I'm going to be talking about how I edit in Logic. And if you want to edit your own show every week, I strongly recommend investing in a copy of Logic Pro 10. I know it's an investment at $200, but if you produce and edit a podcast weekly, you'll end up making that money up with the time you save. GarageBand has most of the features that Logic does, except for the ability to quickly edit multiple tracks at the same time, which is a huge time saver. You can make cuts in the individual tracks by splitting the regions using Command T, the keyboard shortcut, but this is a lot slower than how I can edit in Logic. I do like that you can add plugins to tracks and the master track in GarageBand. That's a really important feature. But like I said, the actual editing of the tracks and the regions is what is most time consuming. So another feature that I really like that Logic has is the mixer view, which lets you see what's called channel strips. And this is just where you see the fader, so you can adjust the volume and you can see the list of plugins that your signal is running through. And this view looks similar if you've ever seen a hardware mixer used for live sound. It looks kind of like that. It's just really nice. It makes adjusting the volume for the different tracks and making changes in all the different plugins easier and faster. So that's another great thing I like about Logic. Now, I have to say, if you've never opened a program like GarageBand or Logic before, you may feel overwhelmed by all the different buttons and options available. So I would start by watching an introduction to that program on YouTube. You need to get familiar with things like creating a project, creating tracks inside of that project, recording the audio files, or adding audio files to the project, making edits or cuts to those files, moving the pieces of those files, and those are commonly called regions, and how to access plugins or other audio enhancing effects, and then how to bounce or export your project once you've finished making edits. So there are some great tutorials for an introduction to GarageBand and Logic, and I'll include links to those in the show notes. So let's talk about time-saving tips, because there are some things that I've learned that have saved me hours and hours of time over the past few weeks. And here's what they are. First, create templates. After you create all your tracks and set up your plugins, you can save that as a template. So next time you open the program, you can open that template, and this saves you from having to redo all those steps of setting up the tracks and setting up the plugins. This is a huge time saver. And what I do for a lot of projects is from week to week, I will go in, I have everything set up the way I want it. I'll just delete the audio files inside the track and then save as, which makes a copy of that project. And then I'll go to the next number. So if I'm editing Shop Talk, last week I edited episode 164, I'll delete the audio files out of it, and then I'll save that as 165. So then I just drop the new files in, and everything is set up the way it was the week before. And that's a huge time saver. Then you can just make small adjustments depending on what you need to change for the audio. So and you can actually also save templates for individual plugins. So say you set up an EQ a certain way, then EQ and compressor, all those plugins, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But if you set up a plugin a certain way, you can go in, at least in GarageBand and Logic, you can save channel strip or plugin settings, which is also just a great way to not have to manually adjust certain parameters every single week. So if you're using GarageBand, you can save the project as a template by saving the project file. And I would just name it something like podcasting template and then save that in a folder where you can get to it next week. So that'll let you open that up and then you can record in it or you can drop the audio files in and do your editing. Another time-saving huge, huge time-saving thing. Get familiar with the keyboard shortcuts. I can't stress this enough. If you do something with a mouse, check to see if you can do it with a keyboard shortcut instead. This can save you hours over the course of a year. And also, learn how to zoom in, zoom out, and move things around. This is often a combination of the shift, command, option, or control keys, plus a trackpad or a mouse wheel. And this is really, really important because if you're going to be doing some editing, you'll often need to zoom in very, very close. And then also maybe sometimes zoom all the way out so you can move a region to a completely different track of the podcast. It's when I learned how to do that quickly, saved me a bunch of time and headache. So learn how to zoom in and zoom out. Also, there's a keyboard shortcut that I wanted to bring up that is one of my favorites in Logic, and this is Shift F. And what this does is it will, when you click on a region, say you want to select or highlight everything in front of that region, you hit Shift F and they'll all be selected. So if you click and drag it, you can move that forward or backwards. And this is just really, really useful, especially if you finish editing a track and you've got all these cuts and your co-host or a client comes back and says, hey, could you make a change at minute 17? Could you maybe move this, cut this piece or move this piece to the beginning? And then all of a sudden, you've got this nightmare of trying to move all these things around, and maybe you zoom out and click and drag to select all the regions. That's a huge pain in the butt, and Shift F works really, really great for that. That saved me tons and tons of time. Another question I get a lot is, okay, let me back up. Now, I want to talk about importing audio files. So a question I see a lot is, I got multiple raw audio files that weren't started at the same time. How do I line them up? Most programs like GarageBand, Audacity, and Logic support drag and drop importing. So if you have an empty track in your program, you can drag an audio file from your Finder or desktop or wherever and drop it into that track wherever you want. So usually you drop it in so it starts at the beginning, but maybe you've got some intro music that you added, so you want to start it halfway. Either way, people don't always hit record at the same time. And this can make lining up the audio files challenging, especially if you're working with three or more tracks. I learned to solve this with a couple of tricks. People don't always start recording at the same time, but they often hit stop around the same time. So if the files don't line up at the beginning, check the ending. And if you zoom all the way out and look at all the waveforms in the individual tracks, you'll see the places where someone is talking, there'll be a little waveform there, and you'll see the places where they aren't, which will just be blank. And I like to think about the tracks as kind of like a puzzle. So I zoom out and I try to see how they fit together. And really, you also have to listen and see how the flow of conversation goes. If one person asks a question, there usually shouldn't be a big gap before the other person responds. If there is, the track may be a little bit out of alignment, and you need to go and listen to that, and also listen to where the next person starts talking to make sure there's not overlap coming in or going out of a response. Now, another thing I need to mention is audio drift. And Justin brought this up last night in the chat room, so thank you, Justin, for mentioning this, because I wasn't initially going to include it in this episode. But tracks recorded on different computers may drift out of sync over the course of an hour or so, even if both of the recordings were started at the exact same time. This is just something that you have to be aware of. When I get tracks that were recorded on different computers, I import them into my project. Most of the time when I'm editing podcasts, I'm listening all the way through to making sure everything flows as it should, but you can skip to halfway or two-thirds of the way through the podcast and listen to see if the conversation is still flowing like it should be. You might need to nudge one of the tracks forwards or backwards in the timeline. So, all right, intro music, intro and outro music, intros and outros in general. Many podcasts have some kind of intro and outro music, which is often added after the actual show is recorded. Now, the amount of time between the start of the music and where the talking starts is totally up to you. And a lot of the times it will depend on the music itself, but there isn't a rule about this stuff. Try a few things out and see what sounds right to you. I wouldn't really play a full 3-minute track at the beginning of a podcast, though, but somewhere between 5 to 30 seconds should probably be fine. Like I said, there aren't rules about this, so just do what sounds right to you. And another thing about music, something I wanted to address real quick. Should I put background music in my podcast? Well, personally, most of the time, I don't like background music playing while someone is speaking. I have heard it used well in certain shows. A lot of shows by NPR do it really well. There's some other great podcasts, but they know how to use music for emphasis and breaks. The music should serve a purpose other than to just sit in the background and distract listeners from what you're saying. So just be aware of that. If there's not a good reason for your music, then I don't think you should have it playing in the background other than like the intro or the outro or a transition between two sections. All right, let's talk about automation. So automation is fading the volume of a music track when the host starts talking. This is usually done with automation. So for a lot of shows, when the music comes in, it's loud, right? And then it drops in volume right whenever the host starts talking. This is usually done with automation. And automation just allows you to create changes over time to volume and really a lot of other settings, depending on what program you're using. But you can do this in Logic. You can do this in GarageBand. And automation is really much easier to understand if you see it in action. So I'm including a link to an automation tutorial video in the show notes. Another thing to mention about automation, you can also automate volume changes if you run into a situation where you or a guest back away from the mic or turn the input gain down or up significantly. I'll sometimes use automation to change the volume level for a track at a specific point in a recording if compression isn't the right solution for that track. Okay, since we're talking about compression, since I brought that up, EQ, compression, mixing, and mastering. Now, mixing audio and post-production are an essential part of podcast editing. The goal of mixing is to make sure the volume of all the tracks are roughly equal so that the listeners can hear everyone clearly without ever having to adjust playback volume. And you can do this with a variety of different plugins that are available in most editing software. The stock plugins that I commonly use in Logic are the Expander, EQ, Compressor, Noise Gate, and Limiter. And I actually typically use those plugins in that order, although I usually put the limiter plugin on the master track and not the individual tracks. Now, I really wish I had time to talk about all of these plugins today, but really, I can't give you all the answers and all the settings and do a great job of explaining that. But I have recorded some screencasts previously, and I have gathered some good video tutorials for you to check out in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at thepodcastdude.com/4. So I've got tutorials for the Expander plugin, for the EQ, for the compressor, for the noise gate, for the limiter. And those, I would say, are the 5 plugins that you're going to be using the most. And it's a great idea to go watch those videos to get familiar with the various settings and how you can use them. Now, I also use a few third-party plugins. And first, I use iZotope's Declipper for fixing clipping and distortion. This actually happens pretty often in tracks that are sent to me for editing. So the iZotope's Declipper plugin is great for fixing that. It makes it sound more natural and not as noticeable. And I use another plugin from iZotope called the Dialogue Denoiser. And the Dialogue Denoiser is magic. It does a great job with automatically removing background noise from a track and just making the audio sound cleaner. Both of these two plugins are sold in a package called RX4, which also has a bunch of other plugins made for cleaning up audio. It sells for $349, but you can get a significant discount if you're a college student. So the third non-stock plugin I use came with a bundle from Waves. I think it was the gold bundle. And this plugin is the L1 limiter. It's nice, but it's not really necessary, as the stock limiter plugin that comes with GarageBand and Logic is perfectly fine. So, but I just wanted to bring that up because I get asked that sometimes. Now, let's talk about headphones. You'll need professional headphones made for mixing if you want to hear how your tracks really sound. Not all headphones are made for mixing. Some will alter the way the music or the audio sounds by boosting or cutting certain frequency ranges. Most consumer brand headphones aren't designed to be precise and accurate so much as they are designed to make music sound really pleasant to your ears. I recommend the Sony MDR7506 headphones for mixing because they'll give you an accurate idea of how your audio sounds. Okay, another big thing when you're mixing is balancing the volume levels of the various tracks. Now, there are a few different ways to do this, and it really all depends on how loud the track that you get and you import into your project, how loud that track is to start with. But my goal in mixing a track is to get the volume of all the speakers roughly the same. And I usually shoot for between -9 and -60 dB. And I do that by either boosting or cutting the gain right away, and then also controlling the very loudest parts of the track with a compressor. And then I usually add a few decibels of gain to the master track or the vocal bus that I set up with a compressor or a limiter. Now, let me talk about bus tracks and aux tracks real quick. And what is a bus or aux track? Now, the way most programs work is that the audio signal from each track gets sent to a master track. This master track is what you'll hear after you bounce or export a project. So all these different tracks are being combined into a single master track. A bus or an aux track is just another channel strip that sits between the track and the master track. So let's say you create a single bus or aux track. You can send the output from each or any of your vocal tracks to that bus to do some processing, so add a couple of plugins to the bus, and then the audio, after it goes through those plugins, will be sent from that bus out to the master track. And I've started doing this recently. I used to do EQ, compression, and limiting on the master track, even though I really only wanted to apply those effects to the vocal tracks. I didn't really want to EQ or compress the music, because most of the music tracks I work with have already been mixed and mastered by an engineer. They sound pretty good. They don't need EQ or compression, and it just kind of messes with the sound of the music track. But I thought I didn't want to do necessarily a general EQ and compression for every single audio track, although a lot of times I do, but there's a different concept when you start thinking about compressing the whole sound of the master track versus just individual tracks. So now I send all my vocal tracks to a single bus before sending that audio from the bus to the master track. And in that bus channel strip, I have a few plugins, usually dialogue denoiser to clean up the background noise, a compressor doing a few decibels of dynamic reduction, and a limiter to make sure that the loudest peaks of the audio don't pass over, say, -0.8 decibels and clip and cause distortion. And the cool thing about a bus is that you can make changes to all the vocal tracks combined before they go to the master track. And this is often very convenient and time-saving. Okay, so let's talk about editing. A question that comes up a lot is, what kinds of things should I edit out of my podcast? And I cut mistakes or anything that distracts the listener from the message or the content of the show. Most of the time, that's coughs or other noise in the background of recording, any false starts or do-overs, and that's like any time a guest or a host stumbles over words before finding what they really meant to say. And I also remove long pauses unless they are there for emphasis. Many people think that a podcast should be as tightly edited as possible. And don't get me started on what's the feature of Overcast that cuts out the silence. Not strip silence. Anyways, you guys who use Overcast know what I'm talking about. But and Justin Michael in the chat says it's called Smart Speed. Thank you, Justin. A lot of people think that podcasts should be as tightly edited as possible with no space or pauses between the sentences. But there are many times where a long pause is appropriate or necessary to let a point sink in. A few seconds of silence can be used to give the listeners time to digest something important. Another thing, be careful about editing out inhales. So when people talk, you have to inhale. Sometimes they're loud, sometimes they're annoying, but if you cut out inhales, it will sound unnatural. So you have to be really, really careful when you're editing to not remove the places where someone will inhale, because people just can't go 6 minutes without taking a single inhale. And if you cut the podcast up in a way that removes every single inhale, it's going to sound really, really unnatural. So another thing, as far as editing goes, some plugins that are useful for removing the background noise. So this could be everything that happens in a track that isn't someone talking. Noise gates are great for that. Expanders, also good for that. But a lot of the times you also have to manually cut the sections of a track that have background noises. So sometimes thumps, sometimes phones ringing in the background, sometimes people talking. There's a lot of different situations where I won't use a noise gate, or I'll have a noise gate on, but it'll be set kind of low. And then I will actually have to go in and cut out sections of a track because there's some kind of noise going on in the background. Now, after you're done editing and doing the mixing, you're going to need to export the project. Most of the time, you can find that under the file menu in Bounce or Export. But if you're using GarageBand or Logic, you'll need to set the endpoint for your project. And this is usually a little gray triangle that sits in the marquee bar that runs across the top of the editing window. And that triangle sets where the file will end when you export it. I think the first couple of times I edited a podcast, I didn't know how to set that. And I ended up with like 6 or 10 minutes of just silence at the end of the track. So you got to go set the endpoint. But in Logic, there's a few ways to bounce a project or export a project as a single file. And you can hit Command A, which will select all the tracks, all the regions. And then you hit Command B and that'll bounce. And as far as file type and settings, for most podcasts, you're going to want to export as an MP3. And the size or the bit rate depends on how much quality you want versus how small you want the file to be. This is something to think about if you have international listeners. The options that I most see commonly, I most usually export as either 64 kilobytes per second, 96, or 128. And 64 just means that there are less bits, which means you'll get a little less audio quality, but the file size is also going to be half of what 128 kilobytes per second is. So if you have a lot of international listeners, you might think about exporting at a smaller bit rate. You're going to get a little bit less audio quality, but it's going to be a smaller file size, which is important because not every country has unlimited bandwidth. A lot of people pay for bandwidth by the megabyte or by the gigabyte. So, like I said, typically when I'm exporting MP3s, I'm either going with 64, 96, or 128 kilobytes per second. And let me touch on mono versus stereo real quick. If you want the smallest possible size for your MP3s, you can bounce your project in mono. And this just means that you'll get a single channel of audio instead of stereo. And stereo is just channels for both the left and the right speakers. So left and right side. Mono, you get one single channel, and it'll be the same played through any speaker. So most music is made for stereo. The engineers will pan or put certain instruments in either the left speaker or the right speaker to create a sense of depth or width, really. So if you have a podcast that is heavily focused on music, you'll probably want to go with stereo. So it'll sound more like the mixing engineer intended it to. But if your podcast is mostly just people talking, mono should be fine. And it'll also give you a smaller MP3 file. All right. So let me do a quick recap before taking some questions. So editing can be time consuming. So if you've got a busy schedule, consider hiring an editor. Every audio editing program has a learning curve, but I found Logic Pro 10 to be perfect for podcast editing. You can argue with me about that if you want. I know Marco Arment has some complaints about Logic, but I really like it. To streamline the editing process, invest in a good DAW or digital audio workstation like Logic, Pro Tools, or Audition, and then create templates, channel strip templates, and learn all the keyboard shortcuts. You'll need professional headphones made for mixing if you want to hear how your tracks really sound. When editing, cut mistakes or anything that distracts the listeners from the message or content of the show. Sometimes a long pause is appropriate or necessary to let a point sink in. Be careful not to edit out inhales. And after you're done editing mixing, export the file as an MP3, either 64, 96, or 128 kilobytes per second. All right. Thank you guys for listening. This is a big show. I hope it was useful for you. I want to say, as I'm recording this right now, it's Saturday, May 9th. We just submitted my podcast to iTunes, and it's going live in a couple days. I'm really, really excited about this. I know I've been helping people put out podcasts for 2-3 years now, but I've never had one that was really my own. I'm still learning a ton of things. I've seriously have listened to my first 3 episodes probably 6 times through each. And I hear all these things and I'm like, oh, I should have done that better. Did I really say maximal? What the heck, dude? But, you know, you live and you learn and you listen back and you listen critically and you take feedback. And I just want to say, as much as I wish I could be the best at this, like I want this to be really, really good. I understand that there are things I don't know. There are things I'm not good at. You know, I was listening back through and I heard parts where I was starting to speak kind of monotone and without energy. And I'm like, oh, like this would be so much better if you just delivered it differently. But it's just a learning process. You're not going to get everything right the first time, but you got to keep showing up. You got to keep trying. You got to invest time into it. All that to say, I'm super excited about releasing this, about this going live. Head over to seanwest.com/thepodcastdude. If you have any questions, if you have any feedback, if you just want to say hi, if you want to talk to me about what your podcast is about, if you want to get some feedback on that, I'm considering, I haven't talked to Sean about this, but I'm considering doing a section on my show, maybe at the end, where I review a podcast every week and I talk about what I like about it, what I don't like about it, what I think could be better. So if that's something you're interested in, head over to seanwest.com/thepodcastdude and get in touch. Send me a link. I think I'll do that because I really like that because it gives me that personal connection with people that are listening to the show. So yeah, let's do that. And I know I've talked about this before, so just real quick, check out seanwest.com/community. It's rad. That's all I'm going to say about that. And then head over to seanwest.com/... Well, it might just be thepodcastdude.com/iTunes to leave me a review. I'll have to go play with all the redirects. Anyways, that's it for today's show. Stick around after the music. There'll be some Q&A. Thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you soon. So Christopher asked how to match pickups or additional lines that may be recorded in a different location setup. So if I'm understanding the question right, like say, so I'm talking right now in my room and I'm recording on a certain microphone. And let's say for whatever reason, I'm out on the road and a part of this... Okay, good. Logic's still recording. Just like you get that nightmare feeling where you're like, oh, like maybe something went wrong with the recording. Maybe something did go wrong with the recording and you have to re-record a section. So you're saying like if I was out in a van and I had to record into my iPhone, how do I match like with EQ and compression and all that kind of stuff? Is that what the question is? Yeah. Okay, so he's saying let's say someone mispronounced a word or misquoted something. Yes. Now, if you have that person listen to the track... and then try to redo the line exactly how they did before with the same inflection, and you have the same recording setup, that should be fine. Otherwise, it's going to be really, really difficult if you switch microphones or if you have a different recording environment to get that audio sounding exactly the same. And most of the time, a lot of people probably won't notice as long as the difference isn't too huge. But if this is a really big deal, if you're doing this for like a really professional project, if there's a lot hanging on this, if it's not just a podcast for your, you know, 100 or 1,000 listeners, there is a program made by iZotope, and I believe it's included in the professional version of RX4, which costs, I think, $1,100 or $1,200. But from what I've seen, it does a phenomenal job of matching EQ for two completely different microphones recorded in different locations. It's like, it's magic. RX4 is so rad. But yeah, that's really something you just gotta pay attention to EQ and compression and various other things. That's a very challenging problem. So there's not an easy way to fix that. Hope that helps. Ben asked, have I used Adobe Audition? If so, how does it compare to Logic? Okay, I haven't used it extensively, but I did a while back download a trial version and just try it to see because I was helping a client. I was doing some consulting. So I believe it's pretty similar to Logic in that the one thing I didn't check is whether you can edit multiple tracks at the same time, which is a huge time saver, as I said earlier in the show. But I know that you also have like a mixer view and you can set up plugins, channel strips, and then save those. I think they're called racks. So like say you have a microphone, you record a track, you can add an EQ, you can add a compressor. It's got a lot of the same stock plugins. So that's great. And most plugins work about the same. Usually they have the same parameters. So if you learn how to use a compressor in Logic, those concepts will transfer over to the other programs. So that's just something to know. But I would say Audition, if you learn the program, if you watch some tutorials, if you learn how to do the editing, if you learn the keyboard shortcuts, that should do you a good job, you know, compared to Logic. I don't think you would need or necessarily benefit too much from switching to Logic. Like I said, well, I didn't say this. I started, I think it was 2010 or 2011, I bought a used copy of Logic Pro 9, an educational copy. Okay, so if you're, and yeah, Logic is Mac only, so I haven't had a Windows computer in over 5 years, so I can't speak to editing software on Windows because I've just never tried it. So I think Audition would do good. Like I said, I got a educational copy of Logic Pro 9 back in, it was either 2010 or 2011, and I started learning, and eventually I upgraded to Logic Pro 10. So it's just what I spent what I invested the most time in, and what I'm most comfortable with, and I learned how to do all the things. And so that's what I can teach the best. And GarageBand is very, very similar in a lot of ways, and it's free. So if you can't afford Logic right now, then learn GarageBand, and whenever you do want to upgrade, if you do want to upgrade, you'll find it so similar that you'll switch right over. You won't have to learn too many new things. So, okay, I saw another question. Corey Miller asks, should you edit your own podcast or audio, or should you have someone else do it just for a different pair of ears? even if you can't hire a professional, should you have someone on hand to listen to it as well before shipping? I think this is a great idea. There have been times where, for whatever reason, I've been doing a lot of mixing or mastering, and my ears are fatigued. You know, when you do this for 20 or 25 hours a week, you're listening to a lot of audio. You're listening to audio critically, and you just get worn out. I'm not going to say sloppy isn't the right word, but just like anything, if you do it a ton over time, one, you do get better at it, but you may also start to miss little things. So I sent a track to someone, and this guy who also does audio, and he used to edit his own show, so he's familiar with all this stuff. He said, "Hey, does my track kind of sound harsh in the high end?" And I went back and listened to it, and I looked at the analyzer in the EQ plugin, and I saw that there was a lot of energy kind of in the mid highs. So I said, yeah, you know, you're right. I think I could remove that a little bit. So it does help. If you have a friend like me, and we're all friends here, right, in the community, you can send me a track, aaron@thepodcastdude.com, and ask me for my opinion about it. I won't be able to go into a huge amount of detail, but I do want to give some feedback and provide advice about, hey, maybe there's too much high end on this track, or maybe this person is way louder than this other person. So things like that, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So just be careful not to do too much mixing or editing like late at night when you're tired, or if you've been drinking, or like if you've been mixing and editing a show for 5 or 6 hours, you're just going to be tired. Your ears are going to be fatigued. Take a break. Come back to it the next day. So that would be my advice. If you have a busy schedule, or if you don't want to take the time to learn mixing and mastering and audio engineering, and you can afford it, I would definitely recommend hiring someone that knows how to edit podcasts and knows how to edit audio, that is familiar with these programs, that is familiar with post-production, because they can do a great job and probably do it a lot faster than you can too. I know I got an email from a guy that was like, I spend 16 hours editing a podcast. And I'm like, dude, I can do it in 2. So I don't know what you're doing differently. Maybe he's editing for content a lot more, or maybe he's removing every single or filler word, or, you know, or any of these things, which also I don't think you have to do. Just edit the major ones, edit the ones that really interrupt the flow of the conversation. But otherwise, you just want the conversation to flow right. But because I've spent so much time editing podcasts, I've learned all the keyboard shortcuts. I've learned how to do everything quickly, so I can just blaze through editing a program. And when I say blaze, I listen all the way through, but I've just learned how to solve all the problems that come up really, really quickly. I know how to set all the various settings for the plugins. You know, I know how to make quick edits. I know how to put 2 different words together. There's just a lot of things that I've learned how to do that I've done quickly, because the faster I edit shows, the more money I can make. So, and I don't just go as fast as possible just so I can get it done and over with. I want to do a great job, but I also want to be as efficient as possible. So that's what you get when you hire a podcast editor. So if your time is worth $50 an hour and you're going to spend 8 hours editing a podcast, you might be better off just paying a podcast editor or a friend $100 or $200 or even $300. It might be more cost effective for you. So, cool. I think that's it. Okay. Thank you guys for the questions. Thanks for hanging out. I am going to go edit this, and then I'm going to go pack for my trip coming up. Like I said earlier, my show has come out as of the time that this goes live. So if you could go leave me a review, that would be awesome. I'd love to hear feedback. aaron@thepodcastdude.com. And until next week, have a great time. I was hoping I could come up with something cool or smart to say there, but I got nothing. So I'll talk to you guys next week.